new CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to The Survivor Brothers, your ultimate unofficial podcast from your friends at TV Guide. I'm your Survivor-obsessed host, Vox Van Allen, and here to join me to discuss the premiere of Survivor Season 40, Winners at War, a man who predates Apple iTunes, a man who predates the Apple iPhone, the iPod, even the iMac. It's Lance Cartelli. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Fox.
Hey.
We made it.
We did. We did. What Apple product was popular the time when you were born? Do you know?
Honestly, no idea. Well, maybe like the original Mac.
Yeah.
87. You tell me.
Okay. Well, let's focus on this podcast here, because I want to say that this podcast, we are the best thing to happen since we predate the Apple iPhone 11, which is fantastic. Apparently, that's how you keep track of time these days, just by figuring out what Apple product came out when. But Lance, was the hype real for this premiere episode? What do you think?
I think it lived up to the hype. But I think it did.
I think so too. So I like take notes when I'm like watching these episodes. My
Same.
Notes from last night are a mess because it was just a busy night.
There was a lot going on last night.
We were at a bar. We were doing the Rob Has a Podcast premiere party. It was a crazy night.
Listen to the episode.
But my first note is that I just had chills. Like I had chills when the show started, and it's all these people coming back, and it just doesn't seem real, but it is real, and it was fantastic last night.
The first line on my notes was, it's just kind of surreal to see all of these winners just on the beach together. And I think they felt the same way. You could see people like Adam's reaction and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, their reactions were so pure because they're all fans of the game too.
Yeah, it was really cool how you have like, we were talking about like that old school and new school split, but like, I feel like these new school people were like Wendell is just like, oh, it's how cool. Like I'm here with Survivor Legends, but like they're Survivor Legends too. Like we just haven't been far enough removed from their season to like talk about how awesome like Adam is, right? But like it's just like, oh, it's such a great moment. Anyway, let's talk about we're gonna get into this episode here. But let's start off with kind of like the headlines here, because we've been talking about who's gonna be the first boot for the longest time, and we saw last night both tribes went to tribal council. The first tribe, we lose Natalie Anderson from San Juan del Sur, and in tribal number two, we lose Amber from the Australian Outback and All Stars. What do we think about these first boots, Lance? Are these surprising?
I don't think they're surprising. I think they make a lot of sense, which isn't surprising for a bunch of people that have won this game before.
Yeah.
Natalie, not going after Boston Rob makes sense. Natalie and Jeremy were such a strong team. Breaking them up makes sense. And then getting rid of Amber as the first one, I have no problem with any of those. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Natalie was probably like number one on my list to go home, but she is such a good player.
She's
like
just a
if
beast.
You, she really is. Like physically, she's strong. Socially, she's strong.
Yep.
She comes from like that. Like we talked about her being on The Amazing Race before. She just comes from that like strategic CBS reality TV background, which just makes her so great and so tricky to play with. And then you combine that with Jeremy, who's such a beast on his own, and them playing together, like they're a pair. Like you can't split them up. Like they played together. Like we're talking about like people who are like almost family out here. Like everybody's talking about that with these like existing relationships. So it's not surprising there that that's how it went.
And with Boston Rob and Amber on separate tribes, you can kind of kick that can down the road a little bit.
Yeah.
And as we saw, Boston Rob, you know, he might have gotten a little older, still has the salt and pepper look, but he is still so unbelievably good at this game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really fun to watch.
And he was doing great in the challenges, too.
He's just putting people on his shoulder and throwing them over the barrel roll thing. That was awesome.
Yeah, some real hero moves there by Rob. But it's for sure, Amber is not surprising at all. And I think we were talking about that in the preseason, how breaking up Boston Rob and Amber is almost job number one. And you got to think like Amber's the right one to get rid of first, because you can always get rid of Boston Rob, but if Amber's alone, she doesn't seem as threatening, and that's going to be a problem.
Yep. I do have one maybe concern about that.
What's that?
Is since you can bequeath the fire tokens, you're now giving Boston Rob an advantage.
No, that's a great point, because like the traditional survivor math is like, okay, we got to vote out Amber to weaken Boston Rob, and we got to vote out Natalie to weaken Jeremy. But at the same time, that's actually doing the exact opposite in a way. Like, you took away that vote, but like all of a sudden they got that extra fire token. They've got someone on the edge of extinction who can sell them advantages for
cheap.
A Jeff buck. Yeah. That's
exchange
a great
rate was a little off for me, but
it's a great point. Yeah. I want to talk about the survivor economy for sure. It was not a surprise to see who got voted out first.
It was a surprise to Jeremy.
Jeremy was angry than surprised. Yep. I think. Yep. I think Michelle was a little bit more surprised. Jeremy was just plain angry. But let's rewind this for a moment, because I want to talk about I do want to talk about this opening of the show, where we get a lot of information here, and we've been talking about Boston Rob and Sandra all season long in 39, and they're back out here, and like one of the first Sandra moments we get is like she is apparently pissed at Boston Rob,
and that's somebody who I would not want to be on that shit list.
I wouldn't either. No. Especially Sandra. If Sandra doesn't like you, oh boy, that's it, right? But like, I don't know. There's something that seemed like if I was on that island and Sandra's like telling me like, oh, I can't stand this Rob, like he just lied to me for 36 days. Like, I don't know. That sounds like the kind of thing Sandra would say if she was working with Boston
Rob, right?
I was
going to say, is your bullshit meter going off?
A little bit. Like, it seems like, I don't know, like she's such a good player, and it seems like such a, like a small, like he just didn't tell her he was going to be on the seas. I don't know. Is that as big of a deal as she's making out to be?
I think it's a little off brand for her, because she's not somebody that really takes those things like so personally, and she's not like somebody who just like acts like that and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. You bringing that up, I didn't even think about that. But coming into this, Boston Rob has to take any target on his back, take off the target on his back as however he can. So people are going to think, hey, they just spent 39 days on this island together, they probably have an alliance coming up, so let's pretend like we're fighting. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. But I guess the fight is not so much fake. It looks legit. Like, she does seem legitimately upset at Rob, which is great. Like, that's part of the fun here, is seeing these like relationships with people, and they could just as easily work together as work against each other. Same goes for Parvati and Boston Rob. They could just as easily work against each other. They have great reason to work against
each
other.
That was one of the more fun pairings.
That was
from,
so much fun.
Last night's episode.
That was so much fun.
Just seeing the different eras come together. Yeah. That's what we all wanted to see. So it was a little jarring to just go straight into a reward immunity challenge. I kind of wanted to see more interaction first.
Yeah.
But I don't blame them for like, hey, this game's quick. Yeah. Let's get the ball rolling.
I want to say, like, as far as like twists go, like, I think that's a fantastic twist. Like, if that's like you can't do it all the time, but like it's season 40.
Yeah.
You want to throw them off the guard.
Yeah.
Like, first, the moment you're on the beach, that's when the immunity challenge starts. And it works a little bit better here because they do sort of know each other, and they're not going in blind. You know, you kind of know what you're getting out of like Ben Driebergen, right? And you know what you're getting out of Tyson. So you can at least strategize that way.
Yeah, totally. And you also get to see some of these people you haven't seen in forever. So you want to see how they are, you know, competing.
Yeah.
And if they've lost a step, maybe they don't have the athleticism. Yeah. Like Boston Rob, it's good to see he still got it. You know, if he didn't have it, maybe things change. Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about like even Ethan, he's since 2004 it's been.
Ethan looks great. I wrote that in my notes. Ethan looks good for having cancer twice. Yeah.
And now kids are driving cars, I guess, who were watching Amber. See a lot of time references.
Yeah. There's no Uber or Lyft back then.
Yeah. What do we think of, I feel it's like a very unusual start to a Survivor season, not just the immunity challenge part, but the champagne part.
That's
so Big Brother, right? That's so Big Brother.
And it's like you're depriving these people of all these things, but first a celebration.
Yeah.
First we got to pop the bottle.
Well, you know, Jeff says a drink before war is always a good idea. It was a once in a TV series moment. So you got to celebrate. And you know, Lance, this is actually a once in a podcasting moment that we're going to be talking about Survivor Winners at War. So I brought myself and you a little bit of our own champagne
Great.
to celebrate, and I'm going to open it right now, and
Pop.
Oh, good lord. Oh, good. Okay, great. It didn't damage anything. I was worried about destroying sensitive audio equipment. All right, here we go.
It's not ours. It's fine.
Got some red cups here. I was hoping to steal some glasses from the Roses and Rosé folks who are in here, but... All right, here you go, Lance. Here's Thanks. A... let's
cheers.
Cheers. Here's to Survivor 40s, Winners at War, and our first boots, Natalie and Amber. All right.
At least we'll see them again.
Lovely. Yeah, well, we will. Yes, we will be seeing them
all... So it's not the end of their journey.
All season long. One last question about this opening, Lance. What did you think about the men versus women fake out that they had going on?
I thought it was smart, but I also think that if you're a Yule or somebody who's like thinking about all these things, it's like there's no way in 2020 they're just going to split us up, men versus women. So I just I think, you know, smarter people are probably like, I don't think this is actually how it's going down.
Yeah, it looked like Natalie was a little bit surprised by that, but like I think most people were kind of like, okay, that's like, all right, probably, right?
Plus, I think you're so excited, like the emotion takes over, you're gonna have big reactions no matter what. Plus, you're trying to get, you know, some camera time.
Yeah. So let's get into that first challenge a little bit. And I really like this first challenge. This reminded me an awful lot of the first challenge of Heroes versus Villains, which was kind of like this. It wasn't in the water. It was like basically battling out in sand for a bag. But it was the same basic concept where it's a very physical competition. Like, we don't see these kind of competitions on Survivor that much anymore. What did you think about this?
I loved it. I love anything that gets physical, that teams up people, and then. Yeah. You learn a lot. Like, what, Natalie was just beasting the whole thing. Yeah. She was a monster, but then, you know, poverty was so close, and then it just escapes them and stuff.
I thought it was amazing that Yule comes out of the gate and does fantastic.
Yeah. Tyson and Yule looked great.
For someone who hasn't played, like, Yule, we're talking about like 10, 15 years since he's played Survivor, like coming out of the gate strong, and like it's so weird. Like, all these people are like talking, like they're all like. It's like this reunion. It's like a high school reunion where like, oh, how are your little ones? Like, oh, I've got two at home, and like, oh, so hard to leave them. And like, they're all there, but they're still like, they're all battling it out, like elbowing each other in the water, and like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Also, Sarah, like, just like taking out Natalie and Denise. That was impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It was just super physical. I love the twist. And I love that right after the challenge was done, that it's not immediate. It's day two. So you've got 2 days to strategize. Yeah. Like, I thought that was perfect because I don't think you want to rush it. Like, perfect. Let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah, I would have been fine if they just did like an episode where it's like everyone interacts and then that second episode someone goes home. But I didn't have a problem with that. I also thought that the immunity idol is really dope. That thing's awesome.
That is really cool.
And crossbones and everything.
So here's my question. The eyes, are those fire tokens? It looks like they glued in two fire tokens' eyes.
I have to look at that.
Is that like a Survivor China kind of like hiding it in plain sight kind of thing?
Yeah, just grab it off.
Yeah, just get the machete in there, wedge out those tokens.
I think that's pretty
good. Is that going to, and then use them to buy some, buy two pillows and two blankets?
Yeah. And they can put it in their cool little bags now, like these colored bags that looks like they're about to go shopping at Trader Joe's or something.
It is. They are a little bit on you. There's brightly colored bags. I do like the. I feel like there are plenty of seasons out there where it's a very forgettable immunity idol thing. But this one's pretty cool.
You can tell Prost was like impressed with it. He pulls it out with two hands, plops it out.
Yeah. And it kind of goes with the tribal council theme too. That giant skull building thing that they have with the fire fries.
Yeah, we had some good cinematography too.
Like, really good.
Looks amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorite shots was like right in that like. Shortly when they're showing like life at the tribe, where it's like Tony and Sandra and everyone's building, and they do like that, like this camera slowly pulls back, and like everyone's just like, that was such a cool shot.
Yeah.
And plus like all the like the art house shots that you get on the Island of Extinction.
They're going for that Emmy.
Yeah. So let's. I wanna talk a little bit. Right after this challenge, we kind of get introduced to our second big twist of the season. And our second big twist of the season is this fire token, the Survivor economy. We have our first ever Survivor business report. And it's we're gonna keep track. We're gonna keep track the best we can about who's got what as far as fire tokens.
At least they gave us a little indicator
all season long. Yeah, we got like a little score. There's a little scoreboard there,
which is what we thought would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless we get like the Sports Center bottom line.
Yeah. So you mentioned about the I wrote down everything here. You can get if you're in the game. Things are really expensive. You can get coffee and pastry for like 3 tokens, a small bag of beans for 4, you can get a bag of rice for 5. These are very, like, you need to get half the tribe together to get a bag of rice. That's pretty tough to do, especially if everybody's kind of like thinking like, maybe I can use these for myself at some point. You know, a tarp, 5 tokens. You can do an advantage and a challenge for 4. Tony thought that sounded a little expensive, I think. That was kind of like, but I mean, what do you think about
Tony wants those happy hour prices.
Yeah. What do you think about this? What do you think about like the fire? Did the fire token, did it work well in this episode here?
I thought for the beginning part, I didn't have a problem with it. I don't think it took too much away from the game. It didn't make me think too much. I just thought it added an extra layer of strategy, which I really don't mind right now. If it gets a little too convoluted, then I might backtrack on that.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I thought it was pretty interesting. I did think that how cheap that Sandra could buy the immunity idol was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So our survivor exchanges that happened in this episode. So Nat bequeathed her token to Jeremy, who now has 2. Amber bequeathed her token to Rob, of course.
Shocker.
So he's got 2. And then Sandra bought Natalie's idol. Natalie found an idol while she was on Edge of Extinction and sold it to Sandra for the price of 1 fire token.
I did like that it was to the losing team because she could have just sold it right back to Jeremy and
right
just gotten
to, yeah,
and
you can't,
Jeremy would still have his 1 token.
You can't sell it back to the person who you just gave your token to. That makes total sense, right? And it's this idol's good for the next 3 tribals. Sandra looks like she's in okay shape here. It doesn't look like she might need it, but it's really cool that it's kind of emboldened her to spread truth, lies, and rumors.
I love just like she just doesn't care, you know, just giving 0 F's and stuff. Yeah. And she had some great one-liners. She's the queen.
Yeah. And for sure, this is a slam dunk purchase, right? Like,
you have to do this.
Right. If you're looking at that menu and you know it's like 3 for a pastry and it's 1 for an idol, come on.
It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe how cheap it was and stuff. One thing I'm really interested to see with this is when alliances have their back against the wall, do they pool it together to do something like that? I think the possibilities are really fun and you have really smart people. Yeah. That can kind of figure out how to do this and stuff. And then I think Nick's right. Whoever uses this currency right will win.
Yeah, yeah. And it does kind of work almost in the favor a little bit of the newer players.
Yep.
Like you said, like this is a very weird, unusual twist. And you just got to be good with coming up with strategy on the fly. Just like be really good at that. Like, just when a situation comes up, just figure it out.
Yeah, that was my one of my big takeaways is older players. And Sandra said this, you got to step it up. You got to get with the pace. And if you can't get with the pace, you got to move and stuff. So I think those modern survivors have the advantage because of that. But I'm not counting out older survivors. Like, they can adapt, and a lot of them already have.
Yeah. So now that Natalie is back in the chips, she's got a token. I want to talk a little bit real quick about the advantage menu on Edge of Extinction. Because there are a couple, like, you can buy comfort items basically for 1 token each. You can get wine, you can get a jar of peanut butter. The jar of peanut butter kind of like sounds pretty good. Like, that's just like 3,000 calories or something, that's just pure protein. That's got to be.
And that's multiple meals, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how bad you need it if you're on edge. You probably want to go for that advantage.
Yes.
An advantage in the like get back in the game challenge. Apparently you can buy up to 3 of them.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what they're going to be like individually, but that's an option. Alternatively, you can save up your tokens, get 3 for a full powered idol that when you get back in the game, but you need to get back in the game to actually use it.
See, that's another, I think they set it up pretty well where it's, you can get this advantage or you can bank on yourself getting back and having that full idol, but you really probably can't do both.
What would you do?
I think it really, I'm going to cop out a little bit and be like, it depends who's on that island with me. But I think I would go with the advantage.
I would too. Yep. Yeah, I don't know that it even matters to me who's on that island. I think you gotta walk before you run.
Yeah, like, I gotta get back in the game before anything.
Yeah, step 1 before you worry about step 5.
Yep.
And for sure that idol will come in handy because no one's gonna want to let Chris Underwood happen again. Yep. But
So I wonder then if they use that, they get the full idol, but then they don't get back in the game. What happens to that idol?
I think they just wasted a ton of tokens. They may be able to, I'm guessing
they
if it's the Edge of Extinction setup where we're going to play it once and then at the merge and then like at final six or whenever it is, someone's going to get back in the game or maybe final five. I think like you can probably like losing the first time probably doesn't matter. But if it's over at six and five, you're just taking that thing home. That's a souvenir.
Yep.
You're going to wear it to your next RHAP red carpet event. So,
hey, pretty cool thing to wear, though.
As far as Survivor Jeweler goes, it's not bad.
It's almost as good as a wire bow tie.
Yeah, show up. That's right. That's right. You had to do something to compete with Dean.
Yeah.
Showing up with all the bling, right?
DK chilling.
That's right. DK chilling. Saw him last night as well. All right. So, enough about the Survivor economy. I'm sure we're gonna be following that all season long. Very curious to see where that goes. So far, so good. It could have gone badly, but so far, so good. It could add a really cool element of strategy to the game. So
yeah,
we're gonna keep an eye
on. I really just want to see what like the Yules and the Sophies come up with.
Yeah. Well, as soon as they get some cash, we'll see how they spend it. Right. All right. So I want to talk.
Plus it's like a parasite thing. And I just don't get it.
Maybe. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the two tribes here because we have some really cool social dynamics going on, and we're going to get into that right after this.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Okay, Lance, so we're back, and I want to spend some time talking about the two tribes, and I think probably the best place to start is the Sele tribe, the blue tribe, that loses the first immunity challenge. This is Boston Rob's tribe, this is Parvati's tribe, this is Natalie's tribe. A lot of really big names on this tribe.
Parvati, 10 months after having a baby.
10
looks
months!
Looks amazing.
She's
got like a six-pack.
She looks fantastic. Like, they're like... So many of these survivors just like look like they never left the beach since like their last time.
Yeah.
Like it just like Parvi looks fantastic. Yule looks fantastic.
When in a millie, you know, helps the aging.
You know, it helps. You know, you get to get the nice skincare routine.
We'll never find
out.
But...
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So one of the first interactions that we get on the Sele tribe is between Denise and Adam. And this is something we talked about in the preseason. In fact, just earlier this week with Rob, we mentioned that in his interview with Gordon Holmes, Adam was talking about how before he played the game, even the first time, that he mentioned how much he liked Denise in his interview, kind of laying the groundwork for this right here, where he's walking through the four. Like, I guess they get lost. They legitimately get lost with the map, as unbelievable as that is. But they bond and they have that, like, he goes and he does, like, I want to be your Malcolm, like exactly what he was saying to Gordon Holmes. And it works. Like, she is so into it and he's so into it. And they get this immediate bond. And immediately they're on the bottom because of it.
Yep. Getting lost with the map. Yeah. I mean, going off, they're doing just all the wrong things. So I can't really blame the tribe. I mean, easy target Adam. Like, I think, especially in the beginning, when you're still learning everything about everybody, like, any easy target you can, anything to get it off yourself. So get it on them. It makes a ton of sense.
Oh, yeah. There are so many people out here with gigantic targets. And the moment anyone looks like there's any kind of blood in the water, you gotta bounce on it. Like,
but also, being an easy target might help you a little bit because you'll be the, you know, what everyone's thinking about, and then someone else gets blindsided, you know?
It's a fast game. Maybe it's too fast of a game for easy targets. But anyway, Denise and Adam are our first pair, and then our second pair is Parvati and Boston Rob, and I think this is, like, one that fans are fans are loving,
this
right?
is, like, the fan service. Yeah. This is, like, the Star Wars Episode 9, you know? Like, everyone wants to see this happen, and it's just cool to see. And like, even when you're like thinking preseason and imagining stuff, I don't know if you really even put them together, you know?
No, I mean, there, as Parvati explains, there are so many reasons why it wouldn't work, that they were butting heads in Heroes versus Villains, that they were not on the same page. And now that they're back, you know, they are two of the biggest targets there. And they decide, like, we got to work together. Like, maybe that's the,
I think it's what you got to do. You got to zig when everyone's zagging, you know? And when people think that you hate each other, it's kind of what Sandra and Rob may be doing too. You know, if people think they hate each other, they won't go after them. They won't think they're together.
So. Yeah. And you got to feel like, you know, it's tough to put yourself in the shoes of these people who are playing, like, cause I don't have $1 million and I'm not going back to play for $2 million. But like, I don't know, like I have like these regular game nights with my friends and like, you play a game once and things go badly and like you screw your friend over and then, you know, next week you're playing a game or like 10 years later you're playing a game and that was the last game. It's a new game. You can work with them because you want to win. It's all about winning.
Yeah, you got to not take stuff personally. Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the game. Don't take it personally and it's a game. So have fun with it. And just don't hold any grudges because then that's going to hurt you now.
Yeah, don't hold grudges like Sandra. Don't do that.
My favorite of the little, you know, maybe call it alliances, you know, whatever interactions, Sophie and Yule. That was
Sophie
awesome.
And Yule. Yeah, Sophie and Yule are, that was kind of like a, I'm really glad that they are working
that's
together.
That's great. And I'm really impressed by Sophie and like having Yule as her nerd shield was great. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Okay. So back on Cele. We have our other group here is Jeremy, obviously Natalie. They played together, and add Michelle into that mix. Apparently, though, there are three. And then you've got kind of, I guess, the old schoolers where it's Boston Rob is working with Parvati, right? And they're adding Ethan into the mix. And then I guess Danny kind of gets added on as this fourth because there's this I don't know if we're doing winners and losers this season, Lance, but oh, man, Ben. Oh, that's a loser move written all over it. Ben gets absolutely played by Boston Rob. And I mean, he knows he got played, but like it was just great to watch because like Ben just offers up a little bit too much information, but at the same time, not enough information.
Yeah.
It's like you can't just tell someone like, hey, I heard your name and not say where you heard their name. Like that you can't ride the fence there.
This is like the first moment where it's like, okay, this is winners.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just amateurs or new people playing. Like, Ben can't just dominate and think, like, those moves will work. This is high-level stuff.
Yeah.
And so you have to step your game up. And that was one misstep just will screw you.
And I love how Rob plays it because, you know, he's there and, like, Ben's, like, doesn't want to do it. And Rob's like, oh, come on. It's like, come on. What are you doing? Like, I know what you're doing. What are you doing? And it's like, I don't know. Like, this is why, like, I'm feeling like I can't trust you now. You got to tell me so I can trust you. Why can't I trust you? And the interesting thing here is that this seems to completely sink Boston Rob and Ben's relationship. But it actually builds a relationship between Boston Rob and Danny, who's the person that that Ben's just thrown under the bus here. Because Danny comes out and says, yeah, I was throwing your name out there. I was throwing everybody's name out there. I mean, you won, and I'm scared of you. And like, Boston Rob is kind of like, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, game recognized
but
game.
But you know what?
It's
we can
like
work together.
Thing. Yeah.
And now it seems like they're working together.
Well, I think that's kind of what Boston Rob was trying to do. Like, he's testing you. If you tell me, I'll have some respect for you. And if you don't, you're done with me, you know?
And but in like that, even like that typical Boston Rob fashion there, while he's working with Danny and pulling Danny in, Danny's clearly number four in that group.
Yeah.
Like she's there. You can't trust her too much because she was thinking about getting rid of you.
Yep.
So she's on the list.
Yeah, well, you keep your enemies closer.
Exactly. This is fun.
And then we got like, we also got Ethan who had, I think, one of the lines in the night. I have no idea what's going on. That cracked me up.
It was so much fun watching Ethan play again. It was just like, he's got like so much of it. You can tell how much he loves the game.
Yeah.
Like he just loves being
And he
there.
Even said it like, after you have cancer, your perspective changes.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's just enjoying life now.
Yeah.
And he never thought he'd do this again. He's just living, you know? Maybe his head's not completely in the game, but he's at least enjoying it.
It was just like, when you compare like the flashback scene where you get like, just like Ethan playing hacky sack back in Africa and like compare him to today, like they are so, like they do look so different just because like it has been like, what, 15 plus years. But like, it's the same, like you could tell, like it's the same kind of like energy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's who he is. Yeah. And it's great to see.
Yeah, it's
so fantastic.
It's like a magnet. It makes you just want to keep watching.
Yeah. So it looks like when it comes down to who is going to go home first, it really comes down to Denise and Adam, or possibly Jeremy or Natalie.
Yep.
And that's where it goes first. And it's Denise and Adam. It's because they went off together, and that's a really, as far as reasons to go to vote someone off, as Adam really strongly points out here, it's probably the worst possible reason to get someone, because, you know, they just met. We've got Rob and Amber, they're married. We got Natalie and Jeremy, they're practically, you know, they may as well be married too. Like, you know, it's just like, yeah, everybody here has such strong relationships. Yeah. And here's Adam. He's like a recent winner. Like, what?
Yeah,
what?
Who's a super fan. So he's probably like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be here kind of thing too. Yeah. But we talked about it. I can't blame him. Like, Jeremy and Natalie as a whole just feels like the much stronger tandem.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting here how the new school players kind of have the numerical majority here. But Boston Rob and Parv and their little group kind of takes control of things and makes sure that it is one of the more recent players who goes out, so that their alliance is intact. But, you know, as we see moving forward now, they kind of figured out at Tribal Council that if Rob and Parv are pulling something, and Jeremy is talking over with Ben, and yep, it really looks like that they want that Rob and Parvati may have won this battle. But next week and the weeks
after, they lost the winners at war.
They may have lost winners at war. Yeah, because it looks like now Ben wants to keep Adam safe, because, you know, he thinks he can work with them, and they're just on the lookout for this old school new school alliance going on.
Yeah, I always thought that Rob might not have been the first one out.
Yeah,
but it's the closer we get to the merge, the more danger he's in. If he can survive, maybe the next 2 weeks, we're probably going to get a tribe swap. So yep, then things just get really interesting from there. So, and then you have the whole Edge of Extinction with Amber over there. I think all that is really interesting. And when do you get rid of Rob because of all this? Or do you get rid of Parvati?
I think a lot of people are going to be on the lookout for Boston Rob. But yeah, maybe he does get very lucky here. Like, really, losing Amber is kind of like the best case scenario for him, yep, in a way. You know, we heard plenty of confessional moments from her where, you know, they're both kind of on the same page. Like, it's almost a disadvantage. It's not an advantage having each other out there. And I think they probably go into the game expecting, like, okay, well, we're going together, but only one of us is going to get a chance to play it, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's kind of like, you're just getting two shots at the apple, you know? Yeah. So, and now that she's on Edge of Extinction, if she can just play for him and just, yep, you know, keep funneling him fire tokens and stuff, because the money's going to the same place.
Yep, that's right.
So, I mean, same it's checking such account. An advantage. It's kind of like to go into, like, the Daily Fantasy thing, the Bachelor stuff, where they had two people put in too many entries and win $1 million, and they got disqualified. It's kind of like that, where they just have double the chance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's great. But, you know, and when we've also been talking about Rob possibly being very strong if he does get voted out, you know, on Edge of Extinction, has a great chance of getting back in.
And do they pool their stuff together? Maybe she's like, you can get back in the game. We can pool our tokens together and give you the advantage.
I would say yes. I think that's what you got to do, because you know it can't be both of you. Like, I think you just kind of, like, wind up in, like, one of those, like, Sierra and her mom moments where you got to sit down and figure out, like, oh boy, we're in trouble together. So we gotta put all our chips on the one who's most likely to win, and it's you, Rob, or it's you, Amber.
I think they're smart enough to, when they were discussing coming back, that, like, this makes so much sense. We got
to
do this.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye out for.
That's one of, like, my storylines for the season. Yeah, how that plays out.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about the Red Tribe for a moment here. The Red Tribe is the tribe who goes to they go to Tribal Second. They lose the second immunity challenge. Before we get into the tribe dynamics there, I want to know what do you think about the second immunity challenge there? We got some hoop tossing, we got some boat paddling. What do you think about that, Lance?
I thought it was a lot of fun, like the whole barrel roll thing, and you know, Boston Rob yelling "pull me," and just, you know, Probst didn't say it, but this is one of the biggest comebacks.
Yeah, it was
ever,
a big comeback.
Right? It was
a
huge
comeback. Yeah, yeah.
And Jeremy just knocking him down. It was really great.
Jeremy, absolute MVP.
Yeah,
although
what a baller.
My favorite part of the challenge was Sandra. Sandra's commentary throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Like, Tony, what are you looking at? Come on, Tony.
And just her dancing when she's like, I'm not playing. Like, you guys waste all your energy and stuff. I'm going to be chilling right here.
I want to say only Sandra could get away with that. If it was anyone else, that would have come across as so obnoxious.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But she she's the queen. As much as she'd prefer us not saying it because it puts a target on her back, Wendell, Sandra is still the queen.
Yeah.
So she gets away with it.
Yeah, just a massive comeback that really saved them, because you could have gone two down there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this this Red Tribe here. So we've got Wendell. Wendell, who is he says he's playing his position. He gets into the builder role, which is good.
I thought that it was really interesting that he immediately took control.
Yeah,
and you know, I think you got a talking head pretty early. I was like, hey, we have some winter vibes here potentially.
Yeah, you can't say anything bad about the way he's playing. Like, that's exactly how, you know, he's not a target here. And in fact, it looks like he is in kind of the dominant alliance of this tribe here. And you were mentioning a little bit about Yule and Sophie. Yule is really impressing me. Like, Yule did his research before coming into the game. Yule came into the game where, like, I mean, who knows where everyone else came into the game, but Yule was, like, doing research on YouTube. Yep. Yule had, like, a reason to target people coming in.
I wrote that down. Yule did his damn research.
And he has the most compelling reason that, like, we have Jeremy and Tyson and Rob and Kim, and a whole group of these people are all together, and they play poker together. It's the Poker Players Alliance is what Yule is very concerned about. And Tyson, being Tyson, he makes a joke about, like, oh, what if all of us were back on Survivor? And we should work together if that's the case. And, like, Yule, it's so perfect Yule to use.
All Yule had to do was pretty much go on, like, the Survivor Reddit, and all that stuff will be up there. It makes his research easy. I couldn't believe, like, it's funny that they said that, and, like, obviously joking around, being a little facetious and stuff. I didn't realize that was, like, a year ago. I thought this was, like, a long time ago. But a year ago, that makes it way more on my radar. Yeah. So, and Yule, it's just smart. Like, put the target on anybody, especially, like, power players and stuff too. Makes a ton of sense.
Well, that's, I mean, for sure, like, the clip we saw was one specific tournament that, but the Survivor poker, there's so much Survivor poker crossover. It's just like Boston Rob has been in so many tournaments, and like, it's just like, it's what they like. It seems like it's almost like adjacent to the game. It's like that head game strategy.
Yeah, it's
part
where,
luck, part
it's
strategy.
Like where they can get, like, the high again of, like, playing. It's the competitiveness and everything.
Yeah, but it really works against them in this moment. And Yule, aside from doing his research, comes up with this really great strategy. It's almost like pulled from Tyson's book in Blood Versus Water, where he's trying to put together this group of basically the odd people out, the ones who don't have these great relationships in the game. And it turns out there are more of them than there are of the people.
That makes sense. You've got the popular kids and then the others, you know, and the others usually outnumber the popular kids.
Yeah. And
I really loved Yule and Wendell coming together too. That's really fun.
Yeah. So I guess that four-person alliance, right, is Yule, Wendell, Nick, and Sophie.
I love it.
Where it's like Yule and Sophie have got something going on in their own, and then you pull it back, and then it's Yule, Wendell, and Nick. They were all together. Sophie wasn't there, but they were talking about her being part of their group.
Yeah. Nick being part of it was interesting, but it also makes sense that him and Wendell are, like, two of the newer.
Yeah.
And no one knows Nick, so that makes, I mean, he fits right into the outsider thing.
Yeah, no, that I love this alliance here, and it looks like they're working with I guess it's really three different groups kind of, like, struggling for power here, right? We've got the cool kids, right? Which is
a Z.
That's right. That's Tyson's in there, Amber's in there, and Kim Spradlin. They're the cool kids.
Yeah.
Then you got your Cambodia folks, which are Sarah. We got Sandra and got Tony, which is just a mess of who voted out who.
Sandra and Tony hugging and quote unquote making up.
Yeah, which is just, it's great. It's like three friends all with guns pointed at each other's heads.
It's the office, the standoff. With
exactly,
the guns and everything.
Exactly. And they work together with the Yule group to target Tyson. And, you know, I said before in the preseason, Tyson's like one of the early people that I'm on the lookout for. And it looks like they kind of do come for. I mean, it's Amber who takes the bullet here, but, like, Tyson's definitely in the
crosshairs. Tyson's in trouble, for sure. One thing about Tyson, it was really cool to see. He didn't have kids the last time he was on there, so, like, him getting emotional and stuff, you just don't see that side of Tyson. I thought that was really cool to see.
He made the daisy chain.
Yeah.
He made the daisy chain. And, like, he has, like, that moment where Sarah, oh, why didn't you tell us about that? And he makes that, like, weird face, like, why would I want to bond with you over kids?
He's everyone. Yeah. I don't want to have small talk. What are you talking about?
I will say that. So, I mean, I love Tyson's so much fun on the show. But Tyson in the majority, he is obnoxious in the majority.
Oh, yeah.
He is so obnoxious.
Power getting to his head for
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He gets so cocky and like that's part of his charm almost. Like, yeah, I'm running the show. You suck. You're going home. Whatever.
Well, it's kind of like the Sandra thing. Sandra can get away with that and only Tyson can really get away with that.
But here in this game, it looks like, you know, he was successfully able to throw his allies under the bus and enter the warm, pokey, poisonous embrace of Yule.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that Yule straight up told him, like, hey, we're worried about this poker lines and stuff. And I think that's the olive branch. I think this is all Yule's plan. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can get Tyson in here. I can maybe use him as a meat shield. Like, I really want to see what his actual plan is. Because you don't just tell somebody that unless you have future plans, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because we do get, like, a moment after they talk where Yule's talking to Tony. And Yule says, like, oh, I think we can trust Tyson. And Tony's like, what? Yeah. What is wrong? No, you can't trust Tyson. You're crazy.
That, I feel like, if anything, it's going to be Yule being, like, too trustworthy, too... Yeah. Like civil with people, like, oh, so can we all talk this out? It's like, come on, like, Yule, this is Survivor, dude.
Yule is like such an interesting person, like, because he came into the game with all his strategy and he is so effing smart. And he's got like, he did his research and he knows exactly who talks to who and like all the different permutations.
I
want to
see
people.
His like flowchart or Excel sheet that he has probably like created like an algorithm and stuff. You know?
But at the same time, when like that tribe goes back, like right after losing tribal council, and he's like, so how do we do this? Like, can we all just have like civil conversations? And everyone's just like, laughing at him.
Yeah.
Like,
I would have done this. I laughed when I heard
like,
it.
Yeah, because like there's just like Yule is so good, but yet there's like there's like this like social awkwardness about him too.
I also wonder if this is like how he's trying to come off, where it's like so innocent. It's like he's smart and he won, but he's still trying to like play the civilized game that we can take advantage of. I can just kill him at the end, you know?
I don't know. It feels so much like Yule from Cook Island. Like it's definitely like the same guy.
I think what he's doing is he's just building that web right now and people are just walking right into
it. He is in a great position, right? Because like he is almost like the center of that tribe where people are working with him. Yeah. He's pulling
other
people
in. It's really similar to how he played before.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so fantastic to watch him play Survivor again and I really like what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what he does, but he's in a great position. I love that he's working with Sophie. Those two together.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I love that Sophie has this other plan. Like I said, the Nerd Shield stuff. I love that. And like how they use each other and stuff. Like, does one of them eventually cut one of them? Like, I think all those dynamics are so fun.
Yeah, like Yule came in with such a smart game. But yeah, let's give Sophie her due here because she is doing that like that match. She knows what her weakness is, and she found someone who can protect her in that weakness.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. It's perfect.
And I just wonder if Yule will eventually figure that out. Like, there's so much. Like, that's why I want. Give us as many episodes as possible for this, you know?
Yeah. I feel like Yule and his group kind of get lucky there in the fact that, like, Sandra is so anti-Rob. And Amber, having a look at Amber's face, it just makes Sandra so upset. Because over those 36 days, he lied to her. He said he was never going to play Survivor again. And then he played Survivor again.
You don't lie to the
and
queen.
And now we got to take out Amber. Because that her face, like, Amber, oof.
What was great was at Tribal.
Yeah,
Tyson. You know, probably the funniest person on there. But we got Sandra just dropping one liners on him, getting the last word. I thought that was, I mean, pure Sandra.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. It was like a great episode for 20 people. Like everybody. I was maybe Ben had a rough episode, but like it was just.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Not everyone's gonna do great, but this also feels like. Like, these first two episodes are so rewatchable because I feel like you watch it again, you pick up something new every time with all these people.
Yeah, I definitely have, and I've rewatched a couple times now, and I'm going to probably go back and watch it a couple times more because this is it's a Survivor event like none other.
Well, it was interesting watching it without sound and then watching it with sound.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I want to take a quick break here. We got some more show to come. We're going to talk about what we learned in this episode and wrap things up, and we're going to do that right after this.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Lance, we are back and we are talking about Survivor 40 Winners at War, the amazing season premiere that we saw last night. We were just finished talking about the Red Tribe. You know, red's on fire, right? Tony loves red. It's very popular these days. And blue just gives you Matt Singh flashbacks, I guess. So
I'm a red guy. Blue? You know, I got red hair. So
Team red. Do you have a favorite tribe here?
I don't have a favorite yet. No? I think the red's a little more stacked, but I don't have a favorite.
Yeah. I really love the Parvati and Rob tribe. Like, I just love that happening. Yeah. But as far as like who I'm rooting for, I really want to see Yule and Sophie go far in this game. But like, I really want
to
see them.
I guess if I had to pick, I would pick red because my favorite parts of Survivor is not when we have two factions in one, it's when we have three.
Yeah.
And I find that always interesting, who comes in with who and stuff. So I think that dynamic probably, you know, puts it over the top for me.
Yeah, we got like, it's like Brains, Beauty, Brawn, but like Survivor winners, Brains, Beauty, Brawn. Did anyone really stand out to you last night? We've already talked about our winner picks, like our preseason winner picks.
Well, should we get into what we learned?
Let's do it.
I think this season, you know, we're bringing something new for the Survivor Brothers. Yeah. We're not going to do winners and losers anymore. We're going to do what we learned.
Okay.
You know, like just an overarching thing could be anything. So
I think every week you can assume that Lance and I are the winners. And
of course.
And that the people who have to listen to us are the losers.
Yeah, and the person that goes home is probably a loser.
Yeah, okay.
My first what we learned.
Yeah.
We're going to hear the word bequeath a lot this season.
We are.
A lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of fun to say, but I feel like after like the 37th time, I'm going to be over it.
It's Jeff really put some emphasis on the word. It's
we like, need like a British
word,
accent or something.
Look at the word we came up with. Yeah. And then like right when they're back at the tribe, like when they're reading it, like, Kim gives like a great like bequeath moment where like she just, well, here's that word again.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just a fun word to say, you know, like plethora.
We're going to be bequeathing all season long. Yeah. That's right.
Do you have one or you want to go back and forth? How do you want to do
that's
that?
That's right. No, you keep going. What else you got?
Let's see. Maybe don't tell the whole world that if four Survivor players playing poker get back on the island, they'll all team up.
Yeah.
Like probably not the greatest idea. I learned not to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think one of the things I learned is that don't try and play Boston Rob because he's going to play you. It was just a full on disaster.
Yep.
I think Ben just really got caught up in this moment. Like, oh my God, I get to play with Boston Rob. I got some information. Let me see if I can give Boston Rob some information. And then like he just got his face blown off.
Yep.
Like that was rough, man. That was rough.
That's a good one. My next one, Sophie and Wendell, real contenders. I think they have a huge shot at this game. Like we've said multiple times in this episode, Sophie using Yule as that nerd shield, I think is really genius. And I really think from just what I saw from those first two episodes, those two people can go really far.
Yeah. And I think one more thing that like Sandra, like I feel like she is playing so emotionally. It's a real contrast between Yule and Sophie and how they're playing. It's just like a very like calm game. It's very like logical. It's very like okay,
it's like Spock.
We're gonna work together. Like this is great. Like I think we're like Sandra is very caught up in this whole Rob thing. And I mean, maybe getting rid of Amber is the right move for everybody's game here, but like, I don't know. It looks like we saw in what's coming next episode, this could cause some real problems for Sandra, especially once Rob figures out, okay, who did it?
Yeah.
Who did it?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to kill Rob, but it's another thing to come after his family.
Yeah.
Like that's even worse.
I mean, you're just turning him into John Wick.
Yeah, exactly.
Boston John Wick.
That's right.
All right. I got a couple more here. Yeah. I'm not a fan of low-key Tony.
No?
Give me Tony with his back against the wall playing as hard as he can. It's just way more fun when he's doing that.
Tony's on probation right now. Tony is...
You can tell that he doesn't like being low-key Tony. He's like, I hate this so much.
That's the best thing.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, like Tony can't not be Tony.
And then once somebody says his name, he's like, all right, game on.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Tony wants you to drop your guard a little bit, and bang comes a sucker punch. I can't wait for that sucker punch to happen.
Yep.
But like, this is like, this is like 100% classic Tony. Like this is like old school Tony, where it's still Tony is crazy.
Yeah.
And Tony is going to race out in that jungle to find an idol.
It's just a matter of
but
when.
He's just holding off on it for now. Yeah. Like, everybody knows he's gonna do it. Even Tony knows he's gonna do it. And he's like, then like, I can't do it. I can't do it. But he wants to do it so bad.
Free
and he's
Tony.
Gonna do it.
That's
yeah.
what that's all I want. Free yeah. Tony. Do you have any more?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. My last one is, older players have to adapt quickly to the game.
Yeah.
Multiple people brought it up, how fast it is. And you just don't see that unless it's just a huge factor in the game. And so I'm really interested to see. We saw some people adapt. Can Ethan just be like, I'm not just happy to be here, I'm actually going to play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll give you one more. Why not give you one more?
Let's do it.
I think that the thing I learned is that the fire tokens are probably going to be an even bigger part of the game strategically than I thought. And not just because you're buying advantages, but because every time you vote someone out, you also have to do the math about where that token is going.
Yep.
And then once you figure it out, like, okay, so Amber just got voted out. Maybe Rob's got two. So that makes him almost like a bigger target, but at the same time, like, you want to be his friend,
yeah,
so that you get those from him while you also want to vote him out, and it like adds like this really cool new layer to the game.
Yeah, it's already tough to win playing the Scorched Earth game and everything, and now relationships just add even more to it, so it's much more of a relationship game now than it was even when it was already a huge relationship game.
Yeah, yeah. I also learned that I don't really hate Edge of Extinction that much. I mean, I don't hate it in this season. Like, I think this is the perfect season for it.
I think we've talked about that where I didn't want to see Natalie go right away. I want to see more of that. You know, I want to see how Amber and them interact. Like, it's not easy on there. Like, Natalie had to work hard for one token.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. So, I didn't hate it either. We learned a lot, it seems.
I mean, she had to work hard for that fire token, but boy, does it buy a lot more on Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
It's like a bargain basement sale air. Everything must go.
Yeah.
Jars of peanut butter. Got a clearance, price them out. All right. So I think that about wraps us up for today, Lance. This was a fantastic episode. Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, this episode of our podcast was fantastic.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I can't wait for the next episode of this podcast.
Well,
and Survivor's,
don't have to wait long.
Survivor's okay too. So we'll be here next week talking about episode 2 of Survivor. So please join us for that. If you haven't subscribed to us yet, please do that. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, basically anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find ours. So please give us a follow there. We'd appreciate it. You get to listen to us a little bit earlier than the rest of the folks, which is kind of cool. And also, if you are a big fan of us, all four of you out there, please go and rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google or wherever you get your podcasts. 5 stars only, right, Lance?
That's right. There's at least 5 people that listen to us.
5, 10, 15, somewhere.
I don't know if we're at double digits yet.
Last year we had 2.
Baker's,
this year we got 4. We're
Baker's
growing.
Dozen?
We're doubling. Double up. Maybe if we get enough fire tokens, we can buy some more listeners.
I would pay anyone a fire token to listen.
Put in. Who are you going to bequeath some tokens?
Yeah,
if
you give us a 5-star review, I will bequeath 10 Lance loots.
Oh, we're going to bequeath some Lance loot. Okay, that's good. That's good. I can't wait to see what kind of advantages you can buy with Lance loot. And if you're not in the game, then if you're not in the podcast, then perhaps it's even more valuable to have the Lance loot, right?
Well, no, it's not really.
No, it's still worth nothing.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Maybe like less than nothing.
Great. Well,
you actually owe me money.
Sounds about right. Yeah. That sounds about right. All right. Well, you're going to be collecting this non-negotiable currency all year long. It's going to be fantastic. All right. So from the Survivor Brothers studio, listen, we'll see you back here next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.